Welcome to the Ripple Fishing Report. I'm your host, Brad Long. Thanks for tuning in. So we have an awesome show for you this week. We talked to Justin Leak over in Panama City. Find out about what he's been up to, how the bite's going over in his part of the world. Talk to Captain Lionel over in Destin and Captain Brand over in Pensacola. So the takeaway this week seems to be that if you can get yourself on a beach or in a boat and fish the beaches, there seems to be a lot of success on schooling fish on the beach. So black drum, redfish, maybe you'll be lucky and see a cobia. We should be getting very close to that time of year. There's already been a couple caught in the panhandle, and we should just see those numbers increase. Heard some stories of a few tarpon even, a little early, but they're there. And just a lot of fish up and down the beaches. Jacks, Pompano, it's really just the place to be. So things are really coming along. The weather's warming up, and the fish are reacting to it. So we'll start out with heading over to Panama City Beach and talking to Captain Justin Leak. Captain Justin, how you doing?
Wonderful, Brad. How about yourself, man?
I'm doing fantastic, man. The weather has been perfect.
you know, a lot of media we do, filming and stuff, we're always talking about trying to kind of make excuses. You know, we're fishermen. We like to be the best at everything, and there's times where the fishing's tough, and it's always, you know, well, the tide's not right, you know, it's been storming, it's been cold, the water's cold, all these excuses. Well, none of that is true right now, because it is perfect.
That's everything. I've seen. I know where I am, it's been beautiful, and so I assume that's carried down to your part of the world.
It certainly has. I tell you, the past week has been awesome. I mean, everything we talk about, from the flats to the inshore, the beach, offshore. I mean, no matter what you want to do, I've never seen a weather pattern in March like this, where it is just warm, steady, light winds, blue skies. Just, it's absolutely perfect.
Yep. That's a good time to be down there. I think they call it a Chamber of Commerce Day.
That's right.
And I think that's what you've been experiencing. So it's perfect time to get down there. One little hiccup kind of floating around the world these days.
Yeah.
Other than that, good time
you
to get
know,
down
there. You know, I mean, hey, stuff happens, and you know, but we're kind of doing business as normal right now. You know, if you want to isolate, there's no better place in the world to be isolated than on a white sandy beach and clear water and lots of fish to catch. So
that's it. Gulf of Mexico, right?
That's right. We've actually been enjoying a little lighter pressure on the water. You know, it helps us out.
Yeah, absolutely. So I assume you've been able to get out a little bit. How's the fishing been?
I have been fishing every day, and it's really been fabulous. I've done a variety of things. You know, yesterday, matter of fact, I did a little live video on my Facebook page, which is kind of confusing because I have multiple Facebook pages, but there's one that says Justin Leak, and it's like a public figure page.
Yeah,
it was on that specific page that I did this live video. It's pretty cool. We had already had an awesome day red fishing, went out in the Gulf, caught all kinds of stuff, and then I was just riding back down the beach. I'll be honest with you, I was kind of keeping an eye out for that first cobia of the year.
Yeah.
Which, not to get off on another story, there was one caught off the Pensacola Pier now. So
I saw
there
that.
Has been a cobia caught. So check that one off the list. But I was going to ride anytime I'm out there in the Gulf this time of year. I'm in the tower riding down the beach. And I'm going to be on the outside edge of that second sandbar because I've caught so many cobias doing that. Not even out there looking for them specifically.
Yeah.
But when I'm coming home from a reef or something, I'm going to hit the beach. I'm going to ride down that second bar, and I've caught so many like that. And then sometimes you'll happen upon, you know, a big school of Jack Crevels. And so yesterday I'm riding back home down that bar, and I see a big dark area. So I slow down. I thought it was Jack Crevels. I got all my anglers armed with bait busters and topwater plugs and stuff ready for these jacks. And as I approach them, I realize what I'm looking at is only about a tenth of the school, and I'm looking at hundreds of fish, and then as far as I can see down the beach, there's more of them, and it's black drum, and there
really?
Are those like 30 to 50 pound black drum. They're just like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
And as the whole school comes up to the surface, I realize it's thousands of black drum.
Isn't that something?
Oh, it was amazing. So obviously the topwater plugs and stuff we were going to throw at these jacks weren't going to fit the bill, so we all I had some rods with just some small hooks on it, unweighted hooks, and these fish were all just floating right on the surface.
Yeah.
So we just hooked live shrimp on all those rods, and all three of my anglers throw in there and triple up on them. And, you know, we could have stayed there and caught them literally the rest of the day, but we were coming in from our trip. We were already wore out. But you talk about a good way to cap it off. And it was so neat because once we hooked up, we stopped moving the boat. And I just sat there on spot lock fighting these fish. And it probably took 10 minutes for this school of fish. And they're continuously passing by the boat. It probably took 10 minutes for the whole school to get by us. There were so many fish.
Wow.
Really
and
cool.
And so do you see the black drum school up like that this time of year? I mean, is that common or is this just
it is.
Out of the blue?
No, it is. No, it's not something that we're going to go target. But one of our Chasing the Sun shows last year was me and my best friend Ricky, and we were on the beach. And this is how, once you find the school, how easy it is to catch them. We found the school. We sat there and caught maybe five or six apiece, just had a good time with them. And we were going to leave and come in. I thought, you know what, we should film this.
Yeah.
So I actually left that school of fish, ran back in, and picked up Chris, our cameraman, went back, got back on the same school. We were all by ourselves. And they're just, when they're floating on the surface and there's so many of them, you can't miss them.
Yeah.
And they're always migrating from east to west right now down the beach. And when I say down the beach, I'm talking about the second sandbar, usually out there in about 10, 12 foot of water.
Right.
And, you know, when you find the school, any soft plastic, like a DOA shrimp, something shrimp related, man, they don't feed on bait fish, any kind of bait fish patterns. They will eat lures, but it needs to be some kind of shrimp.
Right.
Or a live shrimp or a live crab or something.
I would assume, you know, something with some scent never hurts either.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Put you a little dab of some crab or shrimp gel on there. That would definitely get that bite. And, you know, they're just big breeding schools of fish. It's not something you're going to want to keep. Those big black drum like that are pretty wormy.
Yeah.
But it's an awesome, really fun, you know, sight fishery that we have here in the springtime.
It's a great way to cap off a trip. It sounds
oh,
like.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned being tired, man. Those things will wear you out.
Yeah, I wish I could plan every day like that. Sometimes it just works out right.
Well, you know, we talked about having those Chamber of Commerce days, and that sounds like a Chamber of Commerce day on the water.
It is, and that's what creates those situations is this type of conditions.
Yeah.
If the wind kicks up or the water's dirty, you basically. You know, if I run 20 miles of coastline, I'm going to find one of those schools if I'm lucky.
Yeah.
So it's one of those things where if you don't have the right conditions to do it, you are not going to have any success. If you don't have good visibility, you just can't really do it.
Right.
So, but on a pretty day, it's just something different to do.
Yeah. It sounds awesome. I would love to, you know, it's rare you see a school of fish just that size of any species, you know, with that many. I mean, that thousands like that. That's only in the springtime, it seems like, when things are moving like that, do you see
it? Yeah. I know. I sure wish I had some high quality video footage of it to share with everyone. And like I said, I did a Facebook Live video while we were in that school of fish, and you know, the video quality is just not very good.
Right.
But you know, it gives people an idea of what it's like. And well, for us, we got to experience it firsthand, so that was kind of nice.
Yeah, that'd be really cool. I saw your video footage, and I actually shared it on the Ripple Fishing Forecast. Yeah, because I kind of said, we'll probably hear about this.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it's not something you see every day.
No, and I wanted to make sure we got into that, because that's, like you said, not something you see all the time. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So the black drum are obviously there in numbers.
Yeah.
What else did you see? Did you get into any redfish or?
Yeah. We caught a lot of redfish. Man, I'm telling you, the red fishing right now is in good shape, and I'm happy. I think it's starting to catch on. I know some people keep one here and there. Hey, I got nothing against that. You know, I think we should be rewarded a little bit for managing them so well.
Right.
But you know, for the most part, I see a lot of people that are catching and releasing them. I like to see them as the bass of the saltwater world.
Yeah.
You know, where you can eat a largemouth bass as well. Nothing against that either. But for the most part, most bass fishermen are out there for the fun of catching them. And I think because we've kind of taken that same attitude to the redfish around here, You know, the numbers are good. We're catching them. You can pull on the flats right now and see really good numbers of fish, you know, off the piers, along the beaches, surf fishing. Basically, anybody can access them right now. There's redfish in the passes. You know, I don't know any other fish that you find in so many different areas, especially this time of year. So, yeah, we've been redfishing. That's been good. One good thing, if you want to combo some of this cobia slash black drum, pompano, jack revels, all these migratory spring species, is tie that into a reef trip.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
There's so many of these reefs along the beaches, you know, out in 60 to 80 feet of water.
Sure.
Or further out if you want to go catch some big stuff. But you can fish some light tackle. I fish real light leader. And you know, today we caught a variety of red snappers, mangrove snappers. I tell you what, there's a lot of the, we call them white snappers, but in reality, they're different species of porgies, like the chocolate porgy. It's excellent eating fish, open year round.
Okay.
And so you can go do some of that stuff. And then instead of running straight back to whatever inlet you came out of, just run straight up to the beach. You know, you might be 10 miles from the inlet. You might be 20 miles from an inlet. But if you run back up to the beach and keep your eyes open on the way back, that's how I, you know, people always say I'm lucky. I'm always known to be really lucky. Well, in reality, I just put myself in that scenario by riding the beach the whole way back.
Right.
And being in a tower. And, you know, the more time you spend out there, the more of these little cool things you're going to run into.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, that's one thing that I've always really just enjoyed about saltwater fishing over – I freshwater fish too, but I've always sort of had a thing for saltwater fishing because even if you don't catch anything, you know, to me it's still just incredible to see things – you know, you see a sea turtle or you see
–
dolphins are everywhere, porpoises.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I mean, you can't get rid of those, but if you don't spend a tremendous amount of time on the water, it's still really cool to see that, you know?
Oh.
And so you're going to see it pretty much. And doing what you're saying, you know, whether you find fish or not, you're going to find something cool. So, you know, if you got kids around, especially, I know a lot of the time I spend is trying to entertain the little ones, and those sorts of things really keep them, you know, engaged in what we're doing.
Yeah, no doubt. And speaking of the little ones, the Spanish mackerel are unavoidable now.
Really?
They are everywhere. And I tell you, we're entering uncharted waters, not only as a world right now, but really as our local fishery. Matter of fact, I've seen a couple full-size tarpon already in the Gulf.
Really?
Wow. And I've never seen them in March of my life, but the past couple of days, I've been averaging about 73 and a half degrees.
Wow.
And, you know, we'll see it get up close to 70 at one point in March, and then a cold front comes through and knocks it right back down.
Right.
You know, sometimes back down to 60 and we're starting all over. I can't say that I've ever seen this warm of water this early in the year. And I mean, the Spanish mackerel are everywhere. We're seeing bait fish show up, like larger baits, not just the little snot minnows, but I've seen some small menhaden. I saw some threadfin herring today. Seeing some of our larger baits start to show up, which typically don't show up till mid-April. But the water, again, they don't have calendars. You know, they don't know what day of the month it is or what month it is. All they know is water temperature.
Right.
And these water temperatures right now are so warm. And looking at the 10-day forecast, there's no cool down in sight. So
yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think it's kind of here.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it doesn't seem like it's going to cool back down. And if it does, I don't think it's going to be quite as dramatic as we've seen in years past.
I agree. I mean, I think with the water this warm, I think that even if we do have a couple cold nights, it might cool it off a little bit, but nothing that's going to push this bait and all these fish out of here.
So do you expect to see, I mean, it's got to be any day now for the first cobia to come in out of Panama City, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Now, and I'll be honest with you, if people fish for them today like we did in the 90s and the early 2000s, there would already be cobia that had been caught here.
Yeah.
There's been some fish crews through here. It's just that fishery's gotten so undependable that there's just not much effort being put in for them.
Right.
So without that effort there, there's going to be some fish slip through here, you know, without anybody knowing it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, they and what you're saying is proven to be true, because they're changing some of the size limits and some of the things that, at least federally, in federal waters.
Right.
And so, you know, that shows you that, you know, we all like to criticize the data they use, but that seems to be in line maybe with what you're experiencing on the water.
Yeah, it is. And they actually, the FWC, made some of these changes. It's really cool. They've kind of turned over a new leaf. So the FWC used to be 100% science-driven.
Right.
And basically whatever their biologists came to a conclusion with is what they went with. But they've done a good job of obviously taking those recommendations, but then also doing some of these public workshops where they take the input of fishermen that are on the water, you know, not just commercial or charter, but just recreational anglers alike, everyone.
Yeah.
They'll take input from everyone, and they notice these trends, like with the cobia. It's not just one user group that's saying, well, the numbers are going down. It's all of us.
Right.
You know, the tournaments are shutting down. You know, people aren't doing it anymore. And their data actually still shows the numbers pretty good. Well, obviously, that's not translating into fish here for us to catch.
Right.
So they're kind of being proactive and saying, hey, even if our data doesn't show that we need to make these changes, they're going ahead and making those changes.
Yeah, and it's always nice if you can have a proactive approach like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, we're seeing proactive happen all around us for other reasons. And so things like that are maybe a little more positive, and you'll maybe in a few years we'll see the impact and that fishery will be back.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, I support the FWC taking over management of federal fisheries, because, you know, when you, like anything, the more localized you can manage something, usually the better grasp they have on it. So I think this is the first year where they're actually kind of controlling the federal waters, reef fishing regulations like the snapper and stuff. And that's why this year the state and federal recreational snapper seasons will stay the same, where in the years past, you know, the federal would make one rule, the state would make one rule, and
right,
kind of got more confusing. So hopefully the state will be able to manage it better and keep it a little simpler for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned those nearshore reefs. I mean, you know, it's triggerfish season, and those things are alive and well on any kind of structure. So, you know, we talked about children with Spanish mackerel, and triggerfish is another good one to really make the kids happy, because they just don't get that big, and you can have some surprises out there, but if you're catching the triggerfish, they're really a nice size for kids to get into and experience.
Yeah, and I tell you a good tip with that, and I do this on my charters, I do this with my kids, I do this with adults as well, and it's just a lot of fun, is to take a spinning reel, or conventional reel, but I like spinning tackle.
Yeah.
But smaller sizes, 4,000 or 5,000 size, you know, a little like what you would normally use to catch bull reds and stuff like that on.
Right.
Fishing the passes around the bridges. I like a 4,000 or 5,000 size reel, 15-20 pound braid. And I'll fish 20 or 25 pound leader on it, and a fluorocarbon leader. But I'll fish tiny circle hooks, whatever the smallest circle hooks I can buy, really. I do prefer a little heavier wire, but Mustad makes some really small, so does VMC, some really small heavy wire circle hooks. And what I do, man, I'll take those and fish a live shrimp and fish those same wrecks and reefs that are in close like that. And you won't catch anything. You're not going to catch a 20 pound gag grouper on tackle like that, but I try not to sit right on top of the wreck. I get out off it just a little bit. And you wouldn't believe all the little small stuff that we'll catch. And a lot, you know, 90% of it's stuff you got to release.
Right.
But with kids or even myself, I mean, it's just fun.
Yeah.
You get bit immediately. It's just a nonstop action. You know, it makes for some quick action, lots of fun, and it's just simple. And, you know, you're not going to catch a giant trophy, but it's one of those things where it can save a day.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you're not getting bites, have a rig like that and you can have some fun.
Yeah, you'll have a full day because of it for sure. And, you know, that opens the door that makes saltwater fishing so much fun for me, is that you just really don't know what you're going to catch. You know what you're going to target, but you throw a shrimp on a small hook around a wreck like that, and I can't imagine the number of species that would come up.
Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. Well, man, we said it last week, but spring has sprung, and it looks like it's going to be, in typical Southern fashion, we're going to roll right into summer, but we're actually getting a springtime right now. And so, we got to make the most of it. Hopefully, you know, when we talk next week, there'll be some cobia come in. Hopefully, you know, I've seen a lot of pictures and things of pompano, so I know that fishery's booming.
That's right.
And the black drum, obviously, that school is moving, but it sounds like it's big enough where some of those guys down, you know, Apalachicola way might see them. So that's awesome. Well, tell the listeners how they can get a hold of you if they want to head over to Panama City for vacation or maybe spring break.
Certainly. Y'all go to PanamaCityInshore.com. I know it's not the most original name in the world, but we're a bunch of inshore guides in Panama City, so we just figured it fit. But you'll see a listing of six or seven different guides on there. I'm Justin. I'm the first one you'll see on there. But, you know, each guide has a description on there. Kind of check everybody out. Everybody's cell numbers are on there. If you see somebody that you think you'd have a good time with, give us a call.
Awesome. Thank you, Justin. And we'll talk again next week. And I expect to hear some more stories of big schools of fish, man. That's awesome.
sounds good, Brad. I'll get out there and go find some of them stories.
Thanks again, Captain Justin. Sounds like there's a tremendous number of things you can find running the beaches over in the Panama City area. In fact, it sounds like you just about can't lose over there these days. Things are happening inshore, they're happening offshore, but it sounds like they're mainly happening on the beaches with these beach-run schools of fish. So if you hit the nearshore wrecks, or if you decide that you just want to run the beach and have some fun, you really can't lose. Everything's just happening because of this warmer weather. So up next, we have Captain Brant Peacher over in the Pensacola area. He's going to talk to us about what's happening in the Pensacola part of the world. Captain Brant, how you doing?
I'm doing fine, man.
Oh, good. It's been pretty weather. Have you been able to get out and get anything done on the water lately?
Yeah, let me see, man. I actually ran a charter yesterday. I don't run many charters anymore, but I did run a group of my repeats yesterday. We went out to the beach. Beautiful day, super calm, clear water, and sight fished a bunch of pompano in the surf, some big bull reds in the surf, and had a real good trip. So
awesome. So how did you were you throwing jigs at the pompano?
Yeah, we were throwing these little, I can't remember what they're called. I'll tell you right now, they're called wigglers. They're these pompano jigs. They're pink. They're like a little wacky jig is what they're called. And all the guys on the pier use them and swear by them. So I started using them, and man, they work.
Really?
So they're made by Buccaneer. They're called a wiggler.
A wiggler. There you go. Yeah. So a pink wiggler is the pompano bait of choice.
And it works, man. It's phenomenal. I use it on bonefish all the time in Belize, and it's the best bonefish lure I've ever used.
Really? Do you think it's actually resembling something they eat, or is it they just can see it?
Man, I'm not sure. It has some crazy action, and it might resemble like a bait fish popping up out of the sand or a shrimp popping up out of the sand. I'm not sure, but it's I've never found a jig on the beach or in crystal clear water that works as well as this one.
Really? A wiggler.
Yeah.
Well,
made
good.
Made by Buccaneer. Check it out.
There you go. Well, that's awesome. That's a great tip, man. So there you go. Out of the gate. So did you, what were you picking up the bull reds on? Were they schooled up on the beach, I would imagine?
Yeah, those big school up on the beach, throwing Berkeley gulps at them, 4-inch white gulp shrimp on the beach, and, hammering them pretty good.
Yeah. So speaking of beach stuff, I saw just the other day where it looks to be the first cobia was picked up in Pensacola.
Yep.
So I know that there's been one. So have you seen any, or has anybody caught any more, or was that just an outlier?
Nah, I did see where one was caught yesterday on the Var Beach fishing pier, a 59-pounder, but that was the only one that I've seen caught and heard about. So there's still few and far between, man. We're a little early.
Yeah. Yeah, how's the is the water temp? Obviously, should be climbing a little bit. Have you looked at it lately?
I didn't look yesterday, but it's definitely climbing. We've had some hot weather over the last week, so it should be getting about right, man. They'll start really catching some cobias, I suspect, in the next 10 days.
Okay. Yeah, that would be my guess, too. In the next week or so, they ought to start pretty strong the way with this warm temps we've had. You seeing any Spanish or anything? Have they moved into the bay system yet?
Yeah, I went out the other day with one of my buddies, and we were actually doing a little YouTube video, and probably saw a school of, I mean, there had to be 1,000 Spanish mackerel coming down the beach, and we just sat there and caught as many as we wanted to catch.
So. Really?
Yeah.
So you're finding pretty much everything's running the beaches this time of year, at least right now.
Yeah, it's a great time to fish. If you can get a calm day and a clear day, sunny day, I would highly recommend hitting the surf.
Yeah. Have you made it out offshore any?
I did, man. We went out, when was it? Sunday. I went with one of my buddies as a 30-foot cobia, and we went 30 miles out and crushed the big vermilion snappers, you know, caught some grouper. Of course, you can't keep grouper right now. Past the 20-fathom break, they have to be within 120 foot of water or less in order to keep a scamp or a red grouper or something like that. But we did catch quite a few of all of that.
So. Yeah. Have you got any good tips for fishing offshore like that?
Right now, I would just, man, the big vermilion snapper bite is on fire. So if you hit any of the big wrecks, the edge is really good right now. And so man, we were just dropping two hook rigs down with squid and catching 4-pound vermilions right and left. So,
nice.
Yeah
those eat pretty good too.
They're great, man. I like them just as good or better than a red snapper. So.
Yeah. So you said you went 30 miles out. So how far from Pensacola, how far out do you have to go to get into some of the tunas and some of the stuff that is a pretty good run?
So we saw a bunch of blackfin tuna the other day when we were out there, caught a bunch of bonitas, and there was some blackfin mixed in with them that we never could get to eat. But, you know, if you really want to get into the tuna bite, you need to get out there at 65 plus.
So. Yeah. So you got to make a pretty good long, well,
sure,
a longer run, longer than you went, I guess. So.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Now, I can usually catch a blackfin out there, but if you want to get into, like, a bunch of blackfin and possible yellowfin, you need to get on out there.
Yeah. So, are you seeing anything as far as, like, the bigger baits and stuff? Are there baits moving inshore yet, or are they still hanging off?
Not really, man. I haven't seen I take that back. One day last week, there was a bunch of bait Pensacola Pass. Don't know what it was. Those boats lined up sabiki in them, and I'm guessing they were herring. We do start to see a lot of herring and cigar minnows in the spring. That's something they're they're pretty prevalent this time of year. But I haven't started catching them or seeing them. That was the first day I've seen them, so I think they are here.
Yeah. So maybe they'll keep flooding in, right? And that'll just the fish will follow, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
Any action on triggerfish or any of the other nearshore stuff like that?
Yeah, I mean, you can catch triggerfish on any wreck out there, public wreck out there. It doesn't have to have any crazy great numbers or anything like that. So just pick a spot and drop squid to the bottom.
Yeah, just structure, right?
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah. Well, awesome, man. Well, it sounds like you've had a productive week. What are you looking ahead into the next week? It looks like the weather is going to kind of hold, and I know maybe a little bit of rain and maybe a little bit of wind, but what do you foresee happening?
Yeah, man, I'm going to just continue to do what I'm doing right now. The beach stuff is really working well, and I enjoy it. I love to sight fish, and so anytime I can get some, like, calm weather, some good weather, you'll probably find me out on the beach doing some sight fishing. So we'll just kind of have to play it by ear. If we don't, if it's rough, I'll probably stay inshore. And they are catching a bunch of big sheep's head right now. So.
Okay. Well, cool. Well, tell us if we want to come down and pay you a visit over in Pensacola, how we can find you to fish with you down there, and also online, how we can see what you're up to.
Yeah, you can check out my YouTube channel, Angler Up with Brant. I post videos weekly, usually a couple videos a week, just about what's going on in the Pensacola, Florida area. And also visit my website at www.captainbrant.com.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you a lot, Kevin and Brandt, for the quick update. And I'll give you a call next week, and we'll talk again. Hopefully there'll be some things. You know, maybe between now and then, doing all this beach fishing that you're talking about, maybe you'll see a cobia and get one in the boat for us.
Yep, sounds good, man.
Awesome. Thank you, Captain. Thanks again, Captain Brandt. Sounds like there's some good things happening over in Pensacola. I tell you something, you just can't beat the fight of those big bull reds, and it's hard to beat the pompano for table fare. So that's a great combination. Really make a full day of it. And don't sleep on the wigglers, the pink wigglers by Buccaneer. Perfect tip from Captain Brandt. I'm not familiar with those baits, but it sounds like they really work well over in that area. And I bet you if you use those baits in other parts of the Panhandle or other parts of Florida, you can have a very similar success rate. So thanks for that tip. Up next is Captain Lionel. Captain Lionel brings us up to speed on some things he's been up to in Destin, Florida. And he tells us a little bit about some baits he has been a part of designing and how he uses them and why he chooses or why he chose the colors that he chose. Has a lot of success over in the Destin area. So, Captain Lionel, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. So, I hear the weather's been wonderful in the Panhandle this week.
It is. Knock on wood. That it stays that way throughout the weekend.
Absolutely. So, have you been able to get out and do a little fishing?
Absolutely. We've been really steady this week. We've been out mostly offshore stuff. Triggerfish bite remains hot, and that's gonna stay hot.
Yeah.
However, I did get a chance to take some of my clients Wednesday to redfish off the beach, and they had a really great trip. We sight fished a couple schools of redfish at each school. It was probably about 50 or 60 fish.
Oh, wow.
And we were throwing all artificials at them, and they had an outstanding trip.
Yeah.
It was great.
So you called it. You were a week or so early that the redfish would be on the beaches.
Just the weather, the temperature change, that's all it really needed to push those fish from wherever they were at back to the beach. I really think that some of those fish that we were fishing were coming from the Gulf somewhere, deeper water.
Right.
Because most of them had some sort of sea lice on them. You know, so that's the telltale sign.
Yeah. So most of your stuff was offshore, near shore. So I know you got into the triggers. Did you get into anything else?
Absolutely. So with this time of year, and going into the end of May, the amberjack bite was amazing. I had a couple come out, and they're really big on YouTube, Jeff and Christy, and their YouTube channel is One Fish, Two Fish.
Okay.
And they came out to do a show with me, or an episode, however you want to call it, and they wanted to catch amberjacks. And in all honesty, I think about by the third amberjack, they were done, and we must have caught 15 or 16 of them. But these amberjacks are located all over any kind of wreck or metal structure that you can find right now. They're there. Now, the water temp at the very top is still a little cold for them to come up.
Yeah.
However, if you drop a bait all the way to the bottom and give about 15, 16 cranks, those amberjacks like to hang right in the middle of the water column. So some wrecks, I've been using live shrimp, bigger live shrimp to catch them. And the other ones, when we took them out, we were using ruby red lips. So typical day, we stopped at one of the reefs, caught some ruby red lips, and then pushed on to a couple of wrecks. And we free lined these ruby red lips using 60-pound test and a leader and a 65-pound test braided line with an 8,000 size reel. And that's pretty much all you need to do at this time of year.
So why the ruby red lips?
The ruby red lips, I believe, are in the grunt family. So when they are in stress, they make this like grunting panic sound.
Yeah.
And it just sends off this echo throughout the water, meaning, you know, come eat me. I'm in trouble. Like, I'm an easy meal.
Right.
And it's just one of those baits that they prefer. Like, as we get later on into the summer, their diet changes as more bait comes in, like hardtails. Their diet will change to that, and hardtails are another thing that they like to eat just because of the grunt sound that they make. They send off a wave throughout the water that says, "I'm in panic, I'm in trouble," and it's an easy meal for them. So yes, sir.
That makes sense, and I didn't know if there was. I've caught amberjack, but I haven't. I'm an inshore shallow water guy, so I don't know a tremendous amount about. I didn't know if, but that makes sense. You know, I've caught redfish and big speckled trout fishing with Grunts Inshore, and I think a lot of it has to do with the croakers. I think it has to do with just that noise. It just drives everything nuts, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. And there's not much bait around this year, so any kind of easy meal that they'll quickly attack it. We caught a couple of them on artificials too, but stop out there, get some bait, and then hit a wreck, you know, and drop one down there.
Yeah.
Second thing is, there are a lot of redfish showing up, and Captain Gabrielle, one of my teammates, runs trips for us. She's reporting a bunch of pompano starting to show up on the beach too. So, like I said, my trip on Wednesday, we went strictly for redfish, and we found schools and schools. Throwing a little my paddle tail, actually, it was kind of it was pretty dope because they actually did a lot of product testing for me, and we were throwing these 3-inch paddle tails of mine into these schools of fish, and we're using 20-pound leader with a 15-pound braid and a 3,000-size reel, and just bringing it back and working in front of the school. That's a key point that a lot of people kind of get lost in. When you're fishing a school of fish, it is vital that you lead those fish and try to aim for the first 5 fish, because throwing into the middle of a school will completely scare the fish and turn the entire bite off that you might have had.
Yeah.
And I say it, just imagine you were getting out of bed, you were hungry, however, you're walking out to the light to turn the light on, and I came in, I scared you, and I said, here's a piece of pizza, eat this. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
You're probably not going to eat it, you know?
Right, you're going to be a little questionable.
Yes. So it's vital that you lead these fish. And then the pompano, they've been biting about 20 feet off the surf, using just a basic chicken rig, drop rig, pompano rig with live shrimp or sand fleas.
Okay. Well, you know, that's a very good point about any school of fish, but, you know, redfish schools we're going to see for a while now. Once we get the warm weather really going. And, you know, a lot of times multiple boats will try to share a school, and it's important for everyone on every boat to understand what you just said, because there's nothing more frustrating than to be on a school of redfish and you're having fun and people are catching fish, and then a new boat rolls in and just blows up the whole school, you know.
Absolutely. You know, with this new line and how thin it is, you're able to cast 30 or 40 feet away from these fish and them not even know you're there. You know, if you take your time and really set up right, you can be on those fish all day long.
Yeah.
Make for a pretty good day.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no – throwing in the middle of the school, it seems like it would be kind of what you should – yeah, it's kind of what you think you should do, but it's the opposite. They'll come to you. You know, they'll find it. So were the amberjacks – were they big amberjacks?
Yeah. I want to say most of them. I'm going to send you a picture of them. However, I want to say most of them were about 45 to 50 inches. They were monster ages.
Wow. Those, they don't call them reef donkeys for nothing, do they?
Yeah.
Those things are just.
One or two of those and you're done.
Yeah. I've caught small ones, smaller than that, and I've I've learned that I would rather watch people catch those.
Absolutely. That's all I did.
It's a lot more fun that way, right?
Yeah, I caught a smaller one on a paddle tail just to mess with it, and then that was it. Like,
yeah.
I just gave people a lifetime of back problems fishing with those fish.
Absolutely. So you mentioned your paddle tail. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I designed two. I'm working with a good friend named Jordan. He owns a company. It's called Grab Tail Lures. And I designed two colors specifically for redfish and clear water fishing. So there's a pink and white, and I put the white on the bottom, and it's not an overbearing bright pink. I believe it's just enough pink to get the fish's attention and enough white to still look natural in that clear water for fish, for redfish, bluefish, any kind of fish fishing, swimming the clear water of the beaches.
Yeah.
The other color is a gold and black. Same concept, you know, enough gold and enough black to still look natural. And I designed that one just basically because from Texas to the East Coast, most of our waters are tannic, and that bait is going to be able to be fished anywhere in the South, or let alone anywhere with dark water. So we made them 3 inches just to keep, I believe the 3-inch size on a bait looks edible from any fish. It's not too big to scare the fish away, and it's not too small that it doesn't get their attention, you know?
Right. I would agree with that. And, you know, there's you think of all the different shellfish that are kind of on the table
Anything with that pink kind of hue like that, you know, kind of falls right in line. And then on the same note, that goldish color, you know, a lot of fish eat those finger mullet, and that kind of falls into that same category.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That's awesome. You'll have to give me a handful of those to try out.
Absolutely. Yeah. That'll be no problem.
And so what's the name of the bait company again?
The bait company is called Grab and Tail Lures, and the additions, they said Grab and Tail Lures, Lion's Tail Edition baits.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yes. So, so, check those out if you're
pretty all, sweet.
Yeah,
pretty
that sounds sweet. Awesome. And I like how you kept it simple, just two colors, versatile. That's awesome.
We're going to get into more colors. I think a color spectrum is important, but for right now, the basics of basics, for clear water and dark water are the most important. So that's why we went with those first.
Yeah. That sounds awesome, man. That's exciting. I'll keep my eyes open.
Absolutely.
So the redfish from the beach, the pompano we're running, triggerfish, not going to get rid of those.
No, sir.
Same deal with amberjack. Are the Spanish thick in the bay?
You know, I have not seen any yet. I did see one photo pop up, but nothing yet. It's any moment now. You know,
it's funny. As close, you know, Destin and Panama City, as close as those areas are, we talked to Captain Justin a little while ago, and he said they're Spanish everywhere in the bay system in Panama City. Yeah, and it's funny to me that I know the water temperature has to be close. You know, it's got to be similar, and you know, the fisheries aren't that far apart geographically.
Right.
But it's talking to you and talking to him, there are differences, and it's funny that I, you know, because I get to hear them back to back sometimes, or you know, as I put together the podcast.
Right.
And it's funny, so you guys are still waiting, and they're wide open over there on Spanish. So.
Yeah, I'm going to check the pier tomorrow and see if they're catching them tomorrow, but I haven't seen any, and it's something that you would easily see and notice, but no, not yet. I think it's kind of crazy, the demographic change between a couple of miles. Panama City, you go to their bay, and it'd be unbelievable how shallow their bays are and how quick they get shallow versus Chalkanashi Bay is a relatively deep bay. It's just, you know, going from place to place, you really want to do your homework and understand the demographic and the topography of what's going on, you know?
Yeah, and hopefully this podcast is part of the homework, you know,
yes,
because that's what you guys are bringing to the table, and that's awesome. And yeah, it's you think, oh, it's inshore and it's only, you know, 30, 40 miles difference. It's different. And this proves it.
Yes, sir.
So the other big question is, I know I've seen on social media, I've only seen one, but one cobia was landed in Pensacola. has anybody
– Pensacola gets them first.
Isn't that weird? You would think
– I don't know. I haven't heard of one yet, and I'm keeping my eyes pretty open, you know, because – I always want bragging rights to get the first one.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, nothing yet here.
And, you know, with talking to the other guides about how they kind of approach this, and it's an interesting time of year because there's so many things that are on the beach. You've got the redfish. There's everything. You know, you have jacks. You have black drum, pompano, and then – course you have cobia that are going to be showing up any time now, I would expect, and I assume your water temperatures have just steadily warmed since we talked as well, so
absolutely.
It's just pushing all that closer and closer to us, so you know, it's interesting, you can ride the beach and there's just so many things you can target, or you can kind of target nothing and be targeting everything that you need to target all at once by fishing the same way. It's fun.
So most of these fish move from east to west. So I always pay attention to what Justin says first, because whatever he's got going on there is going to just repeat itself a bit here in a couple of days, you know?
Yeah. Well, and that's good to know. He got into a huge school of black drum earlier this week. Yeah. And so, it sounds like things are really coming alive down there. He's starting to see bait. So I would expect the same, you know, when you and I speak next week, you may be telling me a similar story, you know, where all this stuff's coming alive. Yeah, I do too.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, awesome. So what's your plan for the next week? I mean, you gonna try to do some inshore stuff or keep it kinda on the near shore?
No, you know, my love is chasing those redfish on the beach. So while they're there, like I've missed them all winter. I'm gonna go try to do that and catch a couple pompano. But for the most part, I'm gonna try to keep it close to the beach because at any moment you might see a pod of tarpon. You know, it's just like it's a little early, but I remember last year looking at my notes, I saw a group the third week of March, which is next week. So, you know,
really
you
tarpon or
yeah,
tarpon.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nice.
So we have a tarpon run here from about the beginning of May to the end of July. August-ish.
But you start seeing them now.
You start seeing small groups of them.
Yeah.
Two, okay. Three, you know, small.
Yeah.
Ones that kind of started the migration a little early, but you won't see a big concentration of them until about May.
But you know what, Lionel, with this warm weather we're having so early in the season, if this keeps up, it might fast forward all that stuff. We might start seeing fish in you know, late April, early May. You know, we might start seeing some of those bigger groups. And, you know, it's funny you mentioned tarpon because Justin said he's seen a tarpon or two in the past week.
Yeah, I don't doubt it.
And, see, in my mind, it's still too early. I mean, we're still months away, but I'm excited to hear that. And I hope it all kind of gets fast forward, you know, because we this year, I mean, us Southern folks, I mean, we're used to going whatever, you know, we call it winter, but winter to – pretty much summer. I mean, you get summer, like 2 weeks of spring, you know, and then it's like 90 degrees. Right. Well, it seems like we're actually getting a little bit of spring right now. And so,
I like it.
I do too. And it's making everything sort of happen. And as I talk to you guys week to week, you know, I can sort of track, what you're seeing and what's happening and compare across the whole region. And, it's coming along. And, you know, some of that, Lionel, too, I think you guys might get a little more fresh water flowing in than they into your bay system than they do in Panama City. Do you think that impacts anything?
Like, you know, water temperature? We have a pretty big bay, but I mean, they have West Bay, East Bay. So I think it's more or less of how the current travels in the Gulf along our beaches.
Yeah.
And theirs might push in a little closer to the beach versus how our current runs. So
right.
And then I think seeing most of these fish are traveling from east to west, so it's just they get a lot of stuff first.
Yeah. Yeah, and you know, and we're talking about Panama City, but Pensacola is the same way. I mean, those are three – they're similar, but they're remarkably different. And I'm learning more about that as I continue this, and it's really interesting to me how different they are and how different when just the timing of things. And, you know, and you and I have talked about this before, but when – you know, at a certain point, we'll hit that summer pattern, and then everything will kind of even out, and we'll all be sort of doing the same stuff, you know. But right now, as the temperature sort of drives everything, it's interesting how different of a fishery it is, even that close together.
Yes, sir.
Well, awesome.
Absolutely.
Well, Captain Lionel, tell us how we can find you online, and tell us how we can tell the listeners how we can get a hold of you if we want to book a trip over in Destin.
Well, if you want to book a trip, you can always find me at lionsailadventures.com to get a hold of me. That's all through the website. Definitely please check me out on YouTube, Lionel James Fishing. And with that, I always write a weekly blog kind of talking about my trips throughout the week and what we've caught with my clients. So if you kind of want to get a closer detail or you just like to read, check out the blog site at lionsailadventures.com.
Absolutely. Well, thank you, Captain Lionel. We'll talk next week, and hopefully
this
warm weather keeps going, and you get more experience out there, more fish in the boat, and
if it doesn't, I'm gonna blame you for it. All right?
You can blame me. We'll both. I'll just blame the coronavirus.
All right, man.
Well,
fair enough.
Thanks again, Captain Lionel. What a great time to be out on the water. Big amberjacks, trigger fish, all you want. The offshore bite sounds like it's really going off in the Destin area. Then you got the big redfish, big schools of redfish, and pompano on the beach. So it's a fantastic time to get down there and try them out. Sounds like you really just can't miss, especially with some of these tips that our guides are giving you this week. We got the pink wiggler. You got the lion's tail edition of grab and tail lures. Captain Lionel designed that. So give those a try. If you see them in a store or see them online, give those a shot. It's really just a wealth of information this week, and you can apply any of it to anywhere in Florida, but specifically anywhere in the Florida Panhandle. So everybody's at home, everybody's quarantined, everybody's practicing social distancing, and there's no better way than on a beach or on a boat in the Gulf of Mexico, because now is the time. This is what all of us fishermen have been waiting for, is right now. This time of year, get out there, make it happen. This is a great time to subscribe to the podcast, share it with your friends, because it's going to be action-packed with tons of tips to help you put more fish in the boat. Thank you for joining us this week, and we hope you'll tune in again next week. Talk to you then.